If you have your Bibles, you can go with to Luke 15:11. That's a very well-known passage. You've read this before, you've seen this before, and I just want to go through this again. It's about the prodigal son. It goes to his dad and says, "Dad, that buck's locked up in the locker, that's mine, please. I need it now, because I need to go some places and do some things." And his dad gives him this money, and that's exactly what he does, eh? He takes his inheritance, he takes his possession, and he is out of there. He's running for the hills. But he didn't do the most cleverest things in the world with his bucks. He didn't invest it in the right places, eh? The word says that he went out and he started doing silly things, started doing stupid things, like none of us ever did here. None of us. I know. We are all got halos and wings and go, oh. I know. So I'm talking to the wrong crowd here. But there's this point in his life where he messed up everything. He doesn't have anything anymore. And he's literally at a point where he is, I remember listening to Afrikaans guy, my moeder taal, and he couldn't get this thing right. And he says, the pig's place. So he landed up in the pig's place, which is not really the right translation. But he found himself in a position where he was hungry. He didn't even have shoes anymore. His clothes was ripped. And he said, you know what, even if I can just have the food that they give to the pigs, I'll be sorted. But in the back of his head, he remembered, he realized, and he knew exactly where to go back to. And I'm going to read from verse 18. And you can read with me. From verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. Sing Braai was in there. Again. Jeez, I can't get away from this. And he called one of his servants and asked, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now, if you come from Afrikaans background, that's from the devil. You don't dance. And he called one of the servants and he asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost, but now was found. A passage I think a lot of us either know or can relate to. I had the privilege of really spending time with some people in this family, and the stories they tell you is exactly that. I was just like, because remember, I grew up in the church, friends. I didn't do all these things. I wasn't like the worst guy in the world. I wasn't the best, but I wasn't the worst. But I listened to people's stories, and I'm like, and the last thing they say is like, I was that prodigal son. And I came back, and I found a father who loved me. And that's why when I read this, you know what? Sometimes we read it, and we go, yeah, okay, it's an interesting story. But it's a reality for a lot of us sitting here. even as I read this, there's some of you in your head can think of all the things that happened in your life and where you are today because you came back to a Father that loves you and its arms were open up. Now, I want you to, for a second, think with me how this story would have been if the older brother would have met his brother on the road back. I think this would have been a little bit of a different story, eh? He would probably halfway, he won't run to him, first of all. Because he would be like, what mocky? What's wrong with you? Did Google Maps route you the wrong way? Are you lost? You smell like a pork chop. Seriously, I suppose you're back for more bucks, eh? You just want more money. You know what? Just go back to where you came from because you're not welcome here. I'm sure that's what this brother's words would have been to his younger brother. Because the Bible says that there was this jealousy. Now, I'm very glad that the father saw him first. This is an opposite reaction. The Bible says the father looked out. In other words, for me, what I see is a father that's almost every day has got a certain spot that he stood. And he was looking every single day, when is my son coming back? It wasn't just by chance. I think it was a father that was on his knees praying every day for his son, standing there looking out. Because the word says, when he saw him from afar. So in other words, he had good eyesight. He saw him. What did the Bible say? He had compassion and he ran to him. Friends, I want to pause there and I want to tell you, we have a compassionate father that still runs to the lost today. You and I need to have that compassion for our lost that we will look out and we will run to them. This father had compassion and he ran to him and he said immediately to his servants, I mean, this son even said to him, I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. I'm just glad to come be a servant. I think his father even just like, you know what, just keep quiet. And he told his servant immediately, go fetch the robe. And he went back and he got a robe and he put this robe around him. And he put a ring on his finger. And I always wondered, what is this ring on his finger about? You know what? Obviously, it was a sign of wealth at those days. That people that were wealthy and that had been in office, they were wearing a ring. But in this instance, it was a situation of his saying, you know what? I have affection for my son. And I'm restoring dignity to his life. I'm restoring dignity to his life. That's why he put that ring on his finger. When that son got that ring on his finger, it was immediately he knew, my father is taking me back. Friends, I want to tell you that God is still today putting rings back on people's fingers. He's bringing dignity back to people's lives. People that you and I look at and think it's impossible, God says, I'm putting a ring back on their fingers. I'm restoring dignity into people's lives. He's still doing that today. And he put some new shoes, some new Nike running techies on his feet. And he says, let's go. Went home, got the fattened calf. And they had a massive party. The word says they were at music and they were dancing. A complete opposite to what the older brother did. Eh? Now in this passage, like I said, there's three. The father, the son, and not the Holy Spirit, but the older brother. Okay, so I just want you to think of this older brother. Luke 15, verse 30. This older brother is now up a miftry, eh? He is so angry. The word says, but when this son of yours came, he doesn't say when my brother. When my brother, no, it says, this son of yours. In other words, I've got nothing to do with this. It's all on you. Throwing it back in his father's face. It's on you. You gave him his bucks. He went and spent it. It's you. You too can have your party. He's not referring to him as his brother. Friends, and listen to this. Notice the difference between the father's care for his eldest son. This son's own estimate of his position And we can see how easily we can miss the holy possibilities of our own life if we allow ourselves to be blinded by jealousy. You are always with me, he says. Life was meant to be blessed by the constant sense of God's nearness. The word says, God in me and I in him. This father says to this older son, but you're always with me. I'm going to get to that now. But if we fail to recognize our brothers and sisters, we shut ourselves out of the joy because of jealousy and pride. We miss out on the truest blessedness that God's entrusted us with. Friends, when you and I have that jealousy towards this younger brother, when you and I have this feeling towards that, we are robbing ourselves from a blessing that God has got for us. And you're going to see where I'm going with this. You see, New Day is and will always be a family that's doors are open for the lost to come in. I know for a fact, because I've been in churches where if a new person walks in there, he would feel like, I'm treated like a stranger. I'm treated like an outcast. I'll rather turn around and go back. But this family will be a family whose doors are wide open for prodigal sons and daughters to come back to the house. You and I, as family members, as Obut, not from Orkney Snorkney, you and I as the older brothers in this house, friends, you and I can have one of two ways of treating people when they come in here. We can either be that older brother that's got jealousy in his heart. We can immediately say, yeah, now you want to make this building bigger. We were such a lack of cozy family. We were such a nice, and now you just want to make it a big church. Friends, if that is your attitude, then don't go to heaven. Because there's not going to be 12 people there and you're going to sing Kumbaya. It's not going to happen. It's going to be an open heaven full of people rejoicing every day. The word says that the worship sounds like thunder in there. If you just want this little cozy family, friends, rethink where you want to go. Because I tell you now, it's going to be a massive, massive, massive party when we are there and we are celebrating every day, seeing Jesus Christ face to face, seeing our Father face to face. That's why sometimes I also think, you know, yes, now we're growing. We're losing the dynamics. No, you won't. You'll still relate to the two or three people that you always relate to. It's as easy as that. Let's not be that brother that says, oh, you know what? Now I've got to park all the way at Greenstone and walk to church because it's so full. You know, and everything they do is alpha and it's foundations and it's everything for new people. What about poor me? They never think of me. They always have things for new people and new looking in, and but never looking at me. I practice in front of the mirror. Friends, we can very easily be like that brother and go up a miff tree when new people are walking in this church and they're sitting on your seat. We can get very upset when new people come in and all of a sudden leadership attention is on them because we want to disciple them so we can change their lives so they can go back into their workplace and make a difference right there. I want to tell you what, let's rather choose the second option. Let's have that father's attitude in our lives, looking out for the lost, praying, saying, Lord, bring in the prodigal sons and daughters. Bring in the lost so that they can change, so that we can help them, so that we can disciple them, so that their lives can change, so that we can be one big family making an impact in Edenvale and in Johannesburg. Let's be that father to say, you know what? I want to put a rope around you. I want to help you. I want to assist you. And I want to be there for you. Let's be that instead of the older brother moaning and groaning and being jealous. And friends, I'm joking about it and everything, but I'm not throwing anything out there today. I'm not trying to be hard or anything. Because you know what? The first thing I know that people say when they walk into this house, when they walk into this family, is there's a loving caringness in New Day. And I'm saying, as one of our strong points in this family, let's make sure we cultivate that culture of always inviting people. And when they come, look after them. Make sure that we are there for them. Make sure that we are surrounding them. Make sure that we are that father that put a rope on them, that bring dignity back into their lives and give them shoes so that they can go back out. Okay. The word guides us in how to be effective in our relationships. And there's one particular scripture, and if you want to open it, Matthew 7:12. The word gives us, and it is titled The Golden Rule. It says, The Golden Rule. And it says this, Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others will do to you, do also to them. I love that, and I hate that. Friends, and I want to give you five quick things. And so, as I was just looking at this and I was just putting it down, I think, you know what? It is so simple. I don't even know if this is like going to challenge people. But I just feel that these are five things that you and I can place in our lives to help me and you, first of all, with each other and with people walking in here. And the first one is, you want others to encourage you. Number one, you want others to encourage you. Now, I don't know about you, but I have friends that will phone me up and tell me, hey, yo, Mukhu, you are the most useless person in the whole world. No, I don't. I really don't. Because you know what? I will not associate with people that will break me down. I have friends, unlike Graham sometimes, but I have friends that will help me and encourage me and that will pick me up and will say, DJ, you know what? You're doing well. Keep it up. Yes, like it looks like you're going through a bad patch. You know what? It's like the word says that you are more than a conqueror. You can do this, man. That's the type of people we have and we surround ourselves with. Friends, you want others to do that to you. So what must you and I do? Let's start encourage the people around us. Let's have a culture of encouraging people. Say, you know what? It is hard. Friends, and I was joking about it, but as we were praying before the service starts, I even feel that there's a lot of us that's got excitement for this year. But I also believe there's some of us that says, I don't know if I can do another year. It's up to you and me as a family to make sure we know who they are and encourage them that they can do it because Christ is living inside of them. They've got a family of New Day that will love them, that will support them, and that will be with them, and that will walk this road with them. Let's not be a family that walk with them, keep them there, kick them off, and leave them there. No. We will be that family that says, come in, we're going to give you a rope, we're going to put a ring on your finger and shoes on your feet, and we're going to help you. That's what we're going to do. So the first one, you want others to encourage you. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. The word says that. Let's encourage and build one another up. Friends, if you don't have anything good to say, rather say nothing. But let's encourage each other. The second one, you want others to appreciate you. It's just human nature that we long to be appreciated. Friends, husbands, wives, when last did you just turn to your spouse and say, you know what, I appreciate you. When last did you went to your kids and tell them, you know what, I appreciate you. Now, don't go and make this a fake thing and say, Liffy, donkey for the milk and my postosis and thank you for doing this and thank you for, don't be fake about this. But have a true appreciation for the people that's in your lives. And when we have people walking here, friends, and we start walking with them, appreciate them. Those poor guys at the back that's doing the sound and the overheads, when last did we appreciate them? I tell you what, I'll rather preach and sit there because I know the desires they get when the mic doesn't work. But when lots of us, we appreciate them. Your home group leader, the kids' church workers, the youth workers. When last did we just appreciate them? And let's find when people walk in here and we start knowing more about them, let's appreciate them. Number three, you want others to forgive you. Almost all emotional problems and stress come from unresolved conflicts. We need to have a forgiving spirit. Ernest Hemingway, one of his books, write this story. A father and a son. They're living in Spain, but they're having these massive fights. And eventually the son just takes his stuff and he runs away. And this father goes out and he's looking for his son and he's starting to get all panicky and nothing's happening. And to a point that he actually goes to the Madrid newspaper and he writes an article that will go out And in that article, it just says the son's name is Paku, which was a familiar name in Spain. I won't know. Probably like Wim Jan in South Africa, Jan. And so it was a very familiar name. And the article just says, "Dear Paku, meet me at noon in front of the newspaper. All is forgiven. I love you." That next morning, when the dad got there, there was 800 Pakus looking for forgiveness. And it's just, how many times do we just hold grudges, eh? The word says, Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if one is a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven us. Friends, like I said, we've had words coming to this family that this will be a messy nursery. You remember that? There's going to be people that's in here already and people walking in here that's not going to look and talk like you and I do. Every second word is not going to be a word you and I relate to every day. You know what, friends? It's not our jobs to judge people. It's our jobs to love them and forgive them and be with them. This scripture for this for me is very important as well. As we start this new year, friends, if you want to carry on in your life, even in your relationship with people very close to you, but you're holding on to things, you're going to walk and you're going to grow old bitter. Forgive that person and carry on. Forgive them and carry on. The fourth thing is you want others to listen to you. I've said to you guys before, I will be in a lift. As soon as we're from the 10th floor to the bottom, I will know everything about that person in the lift. I don't know if I've got that face that says, "It's telling me everything." I don't know, but it just feels like that. I will walk out there and I know whose mom, who his dad is, and this guy's going through a divorce and everything. But I just learned in my life that people just want others to hear them. People just want others to say, "You know what? Tell me your story." New Day, when people walk into this place, take time, sit with them and say, "Tell me your story." I had the amazing privilege this holiday. My wife and I and our kids went to a couple of people's houses and we bribed with them. How can you imagine bribe? And we bribed with them, something I don't do very often. I don't know if you noticed. And it is just so amazing to sit and to hear their stories, even of this family. But I just learned that people out there just want to be heard. A deaf ear is the first indication of a closed mind. A deaf ear is the first indication of a closed mind. James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, every person be quick to hear, slow to speak." Many times we are very quick to tell them. We are very quick to give out 10 cents. When last did you stop and say, "Tell me about you"? Just want to take time. I know Joburg is a coffee shop culture, but do that. Invite people to that coffee shop. Sit with them. Say, "You know what? Tell me a bit about yourself." And then the last one, you want others to understand you. So the husbands go, "That's impossible. You don't know my wife." How do you feel when you are misunderstood, frustrated, disappointed, resentment? We don't like to be misunderstood. 60% of all management problems are a result of faulty communication. A leading marriage counselor said that at least half of all divorces result from faulty communication between spouses. Criminologist tells us that 90% of all criminals have difficulty communicating. If you want to be understood, start communicating clearly to the people around you. Okay, like I said, five things. It's not rocket science. Really isn't. I was looking at this and I'm like, jeez, I don't know if this even will impact anything or anyone. But the key to relating to others is putting yourself in someone else's place instead of putting them in their place. Encourage, appreciate, forgive, listen, and understand. I end with this. Luke 15:29 again, going to the beloved old brother. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you. I have served you Friends, can I tell you something? For us here right now, this brother had no clue of his position in that father's house. He acted as a servant and as a slave. When the younger brother came back, he said, I will just be a slave. But the father said, no, you are my son. I want to tell you, New Day, as you are sitting here today, let's know our position in this house. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. Our security, our love is in Him. When people walk in here, our security and our love is in Him. And what breaks His heart breaks our heart. And that's the lost coming in to know Him. Friends, can I ask that in this year that we're going in, can we open our lives and say, you know what, I'm secure in where I am. I'm secure in who I am. And I want to be part of this family that open their doors and say to the lost, please come in. Friends, but that needs for me and you to have that culture of invitation to say, you know what, I have a place, I have a house where they will restore dignity, where they'll put a robe around you and they'll put shoes back on your feet. This is what New Day is all about, friends. It's not just a Sunday morning service. It's not just a home group. It's an everyday thing of this community and this family making an impact where we are. And I pray that we will be that attitude, that we'll have that attitude to say, you know what, let's invite the lost because they'll hear something of God's heart. Close your eyes with me.